turning in the Bible to the second epistle according of Paul, the apostle, to Timothy, and the verse 8, six, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God. Well, we read in our prayer for the Sunday before Advent, the stirring up. Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may thee be plenteously rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this collect or prayer is used on the Sunday before Advent, begins calling on God to stir up the people of God. And so we will consider this morning this subject from this epistle of Timothy, where Paul writes to him, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Well, there's much to be reminded of, and we've thought on similar things in the last 3 weeks, haven't we, with the remembrance of the Reformation, the day when it was shouted out by Martin Luther, by the form of putting a notice to a meeting on the door of his church to say, look, we've got to remember what the Bible says and turn back to the Bible. Then we had the remembrance of November the 5th, the gunpowder plot, the glorious revolution, remembering God's grace in saving us. And then last weekend, another remembrance of the wars, particularly in God, saving us from Hitler and in World War I, and giving thanks for those who gave their lives, remembering them and remembering those today who are still in our armed forces, seeking to do good, whether we agree with the politics and all that or not. Well, now the remembrance here is an even greater remembrance, isn't it, really? To remember God, to remember God, and to remember that we should be serving God. Now, Paul, the apostle, he was the last apostle, wasn't he? After Jesus has ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, and then a few years later on, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus to Paul. And here, he becomes a great apostle to all the Gentiles, all the people who are not Jews, all the other nations. And so, then there has to be people to take over from Paul, and people to follow on when he can't do everything himself. So there's other men, and Timothy is one of these ministers of the early church who he's writing this letter to, his second letter that he's sent to Timothy, who he's worked with very closely. And Timothy is clearly very gifted, and he's serving God, and he has to help to organize some of the other churches around the place, in different parts of the world. Now, why then does he have to tell him to stir up the gift of God? You think, well, it's Timothy's, he's doing well, he's going flat out, I suspect. He's a very good worker. We don't hear any complaints about Timothy in the scriptures. Well, these things perhaps are written even more greatly for our use. If Timothy needs to stir up the gift of God, then how much more do we need to do such? So, in fact, we might need to wake up, as it were. We might be very sleepy as Christians. And the Bible says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Just to think of the Lord Jesus Christ should be something to wake up a person. In fact, some, it's the first time they've woken up. They haven't even known of a gift of God. They haven't known that there's any such thing as a gift of God. Some people have been working hard all their lives, but going their own way. And they haven't got any of the grace of God at all. So, for them, they need to hear about Jesus Christ. The light has come. He is the Saviour. He's the one who died for sinners, to save sinners. And so, there's a gift of God in him. This is the great gift, the gift of God giving himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, the whole world, we need to stir up the whole world to it. And really, Timothy's job is is the second part that follows on from that. Christ has come, Christ has ascended, Christ is seated at the right hand of God, but then he sends his Spirit to preach through his preachers the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for every generation since, people have been going through life without the gift of God, in their own strength, going wrong, sinning against God, in fact, not been giving him any glory for anything that they've done, or doing it in their own of their own free power that they think they've got, but it's sin against God. Whether we're not a thief or a murderer, we're still people that are not loving our God that's made us and giving him glory. And so the world is to be stirred up, to be woken up. Now, that's the first sense of this here, but Paul is speaking to Timothy. He's a minister. He's had hands laid on him, he says here. And there is an association here of the ordination of Timothy and the gift of God. Now, of course, there are many in the churches today who've been through a process, such as, it's often difficult to say, isn't it? But those who are what we would call liberals in the church. They don't actually believe the Bible. They say horrible things about the Bible. They conduct a service that they call the Mass, where they supposedly bring about a sacrifice of Christ. But it's finished. There's no more sacrifice. And so these, though they've been through this ceremony, they're not ministers of God truly. But with Timothy, there was a truthfulness to all this. And so he has a power. And I was reading notes, a sermon on this by John Calvin. He was encouraging that people, that God does empower his ministers, even though they may be very weak with his gifts. It's not in the strength of a man. Now, it is interesting why Timothy should be told to stir up this gift when it seems as if he wouldn't have to. But everybody needs to be reminded. We always need to remind ourselves of the truth of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are various reasons why people may slacken in some ways or another. There are people who can be very gifted and yet just because they've gone to a certain, they've got so far, it doesn't mean to say that they have got, that they can sit back, as it were. And of course, there will be many hindrances in the Christian life. The work that Timothy was to do was to increase on the starting of the work of the churches in the whole world. Now, it's important to remember that the world is not under the, it's under the power of God, everything's under the power of God and the authority of God, but it's going its own way. And in fact, this was even true of the Jewish people from whom Paul and Timothy had come. So he's reminded of his ancestors, his grandmother and his mother. Now for us, some of us, we might have to go back a few more generations to remember those before us whose faith we're following. It's often said of the Christians, well, this is just your religion. But we would say, no, this is a religion of the Bible. We're people who believe the Bible. We are the descendants of Abraham according to faith, that we're justified by faith. We're not people that have made up our own religion. And so this was put into Timothy's mind to remind him that the faith that he had was not a new faith. You see, the Jewish people of his time, they were very critical of this new religion, Christianity, as they would call it. And they would dismiss it. You're not following your parents and your grandparents. No, they said, we can go back a bit further than that. Maybe our parents and grandparents have gone astray. Maybe they'd stopped going to church. Maybe they didn't really believe the Bible so much as a form of religion. But we go back further, right to the Scriptures. And so that was the case in the Protestant Reformation, for example. The Roman Church say, but you're not following the fathers, or you're not following our traditions. These are the traditions we've got. They said, no, we go right back where the early church was right. We'll follow. We'll happily follow them where they're right. But if they're not right, we've got a greater authority, one authority, the Scriptures. So, you see, you get this opposition against the Church of God, and we get it much today. But it's changed. Watch this religion. You're telling people they've got to be saved? You're telling them that they've got to turn to God? Yes. But we haven't just made it up in the 21st century. This, our faith, is the faith of in simple terms, the faith of the evangelicals, like Shaftesbury and Wilberforce. It's the faith of the Methodists, like George Whitefield, and to a large extent, the Wesleys. It's the religion of the Puritans. It's the religion of the 16th century Anglicans, of our martyrs, of those that formed our Book of Common Prayer. It's the religion of, again, there's one or two little points of disagreement, but the religion of Martin Luther. It's the religion of John Wycliffe, and of the early church indeed, and others throughout time. So Timothy is told to be, that he's not to be ashamed of this testimony of the Lord. This is all by way to stir Timothy up, to remind him. Timothy was a sensitive sort of person, and it says that Paul was greatly desiring to see him in verse 4, being mindful of thy tears. I don't think he's literally broken down at the opposition that was set about towards him. That there is a danger here that people's tears may overtake them. We don't say that that had happened for Timothy, but Paul, you see, it's a possibility. And Paul is to strengthen him here. So there are hindrances against the person keeping up their Christian witness, their Christian testimony. Great hindrances. The world is really against the cause of Christ. And so we have to realize that, how do we stand? Well, it's a gift of God. God gives his people gifts. He gives us the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He gives us his Holy Spirit. God with us. The Lord, the Spirit. And he's to go on. He is to preach. Timothy isn't a priest like a Roman priest who goes performing ceremonies. He is to keep the word of God, as it is in verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, some of the reasons why these gifts may have slipped into disuse or certainly not being used to their full. Comparing these old, the old religion that he came from was one of law. Now, there was a good law given by God, but it had been corrupted. But that was, there was a spirit of fear. Even with the law of Moses, the people trembled. And it's right that we have a fear of God. But a spirit purely of fear is no good to the minister of God or to the people of God. But through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the people of God have power and love and a sound mind. In verse 7. But if there's a tendency, you see, to slip back, there's a tendency to slip into old ways of thinking, old ways of behavior, and to start having a certain dread and a fear in us. As I said, our fear should be of God and not of man. And it will be a hindrance. You see, you think where the church has gone today in so many examples, and they're pandering. We're asking at the beginning, what's happened at St. Paul's Cathedral? And you see that the church there should be able to preach to those outside. But it more or less agrees with them. It's got the world's agenda, and the church there is in fear of that. Well, they haven't. I say they're way behind here. They haven't had this grace that when they were ordained. Perhaps you know we must say that were these people really, really born again Christians? Do they have any sense of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or have they just taken up a liberal social agenda of some sort, and some vague ideas about God? Having read so many, see, there are so many books. If you go to theological Bible colleges to study to become a minister, there are piles of books written by people that take the Bible and they say, "Well, it doesn't really. Does it really mean it? Oh no, it can't be, can it?" And then people study these books and they don't read. They don't take the Bible as the Word of God. They don't read good books on the Bible from our forefathers. And so they come out and they're all very vague about, well, maybe Moses was there, maybe King David was there, maybe Jesus was there, maybe we don't know really what happened then, and well, when did all this happen and who wrote it, and all full of doubt. And they go into the ministry in the church and what have they got? They've got nothing to stand on. They've got no word of God to stand on. They've got nothing to preach. They're just there. And it's just an empty show. Well, it may be impressive. It may have lots of gold, lots of bright colours and all sorts of things. But there's nothing really there. They may have good words, fine speeches. They may speak with words that just flow like milk and honey. But there's nothing to them. They're not able to save a sinner. And they're not able to do glory to God. And towards the world, all they have is a spirit of fear. But this power, this is the power of the gospel of Christ and of love. The word of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ. Oh, to be able to tell a poor person, you can turn to Jesus Christ and you'll be saved from hell, and you'll be going to heaven. Isn't that a wonderful love of God to be able to declare and to be able to be changed by, and of a sound mind? Then this isn't a cure for any mental illness. It's not talking of that sort of thing, but it's saying that they can be sound, they can be settled in their mind, they can understand, they know what they're saying, they know what they're doing. This is what the church needs, doesn't it, today? A clear sound. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who will go to the battle? They went, what's that noise? There's a trumpet. Oh, is it? Well, I don't know if it was. They won't be ready, will they? They need a clear sound. Here we go. Let's follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So, How else can they have slipped? Well, in verse 8 it says here, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." There's a way of affliction that Jesus Christ speaks of. Of all that follow him will know great troubles. And when great troubles come in the work of the gospel, see, some would turn back, some would find an easy way out, but it's not to be ashamed of. We may be, for example, a very, very small church, and there may be all sorts of hindrances to the work and all sorts of things. There may be all sorts that are against us, but that do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't give in, as it were. Don't go for a half-hearted gospel where, oh, well, if you come to Jesus Christ, yes, we'd love to see you, but, oh, well, don't worry, there's no hell to be afraid of. You know, you can just, it's fine, you just carry on where you are. We're just there, and we're not too bothered. No, that's not it. We are not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He died for sinners, to save sinners, and they need to come to him to be saved. But of course, through such a message, those who carry it will be afflicted one way or another. It is not what the world wants to hear, even in brighter days when the world, England, maybe look like a Christian country. The true message, many of them got round it in the 17th century. People like to dress up as Puritans, pretend that they were godly when they were nothing of the sort. But the real, as soon as they came along doing open air preaching in the 18th century, it was shown the state that people had got into. They were throwing things at the preachers. So there'd be afflictions. But that mustn't put us off. We are to stir up the gift of God and to go on with the work. This is what the world needs, isn't it? If they're against us, well, we can't change that, can we? We can be as nice as we like to people. If they say, oh, we hate you because you tell us about Jesus, we have to continue as kindly as we possibly can. And don't be put off. Then again, it says in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This is a very important subject, that it is not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This is what gives us confidence in the ministry with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not depending on ourselves. It would be very harsh, wouldn't it, to have to depend on yourself, to fight a spiritual warfare. What have we got in ourselves? Nothing. There's no good thing that dwelleth in me. Even as the Apostle Paul said, it was all God's grace that was given. And if you start to think that we've got to progress as a church through our own works and our own strength, well, we do what we can. Of course we do what we can. We'll do everything God puts before us. Yes, stir up the gift. But it's according to his own purpose and grace which was given us. It's from a gift of God we're to stir up. We're to have great high views of the power and the glory of God in Jesus Christ. That's our strength, our inspiration. It's all from him. And as it goes on in verse 10 to say that it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Well, you can say, well, that's what we're living for. We're living for eternal life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Immortal. No death to be feared in him, if we're in him. So this should encourage the when we think, oh, what can we do? We're encouraged in this full work that Jesus Christ has done for his people. So this will encourage us to stir up these gifts. He also, there can be a slipping in the church when they turn away from the preaching of the gospel. And it's happening today, just like it happened in the Middle Ages. It's beginning to happen again. There are still churches where people go and there's a lot going on there. And they're surprised to hear preaching. And we're thankful that they've got it. But there's pressure on them. There's pressure on the preacher to cut down the sermon. And then they also want to bring in all this other, let's have an interview. Well, let's have a band. What else could we do? Let's wave some flags around. I've heard people doing that. They run up and down waving flags around in the church. And this is another way to worship God. And they invent all sorts of ideas. Well, let's have a little play. People don't understand preaching. Talking, they haven't got ears. Have they got ears? Let's have a little play. We'll stir up their emotion with some powerful drama like this. That'll get them. And out goes preaching. But here you see what Paul says, whereunto, verse 11, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. I said, that looks foolish. To preach to them. You can go around and preach to people. People say, don't they today? I don't want anybody preaching to me. Let's have songs of praise. They have it on the television. No preaching. Let's have thoughts of the day on the radio. Or in the service. Make sure there's no sermon in it. Or if it is, keep it brief. And don't mention sin. But he's appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. See, because of preaching, he suffered. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You see, it's through the preaching that comes faith, believing and being persuaded. These are the things that come. And so these are the form. Hold fast the form of sound words. We've got the scripture, we've got the words of God. Keep these words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing, which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. So, Timothy, to stir up this, is to be preaching the truth. We all need to, we're not all preachers, but we can all preach to ourselves the truth. Keep the truth of the gospel. This is the thing. This stirs you up. This is what we need. We don't need to think, oh, what can we do? I remember at college, you'd hear all these things, and it's all, what should we do? You know, the answer was always, keep preaching the gospel. Keep preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through him that things can be done and changed. So then, lastly, in this last part of this chapter, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. We live in days where there is opposition. We've said this already, haven't we? But it comes here now. That people have turned away from Paul, and Timothy was going to find the same thing. So he needed to stir up this gift that was in him. And today we live in days of widespread apostasy. There are many cults, very strange sorts of things. You think, well, where do they, is it sort of a church? Is it really a church? What are people going? What are they hearing? What are they told to do in these in these places, in these other religions, what's all going on? Well, they've turned away from the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've followed fables, false religions, anything. See, because the what we call the natural man, the unconverted man, he likes something that he can do himself. He doesn't want to know that it's a gift of God. He doesn't want to have to give all his faith in God. He wants to do it himself. He wants to be a big man of some sort. And they turn away from this simple spiritual teaching which the apostle gives. And we live in widespread days of this. Many of it'll be very disappointing. We'll be very disappointed in people. But there's this one, Onesiphorus. He was a good man. He came, he took great trouble to find Paul in Rome when he's in prison. He went to visit him, associating himself with this man who was in great trouble for his preaching. So what about you? You're the same, aren't you? He could have been in great danger of being put in prison himself. But he sets a good example for Timothy. Timothy can think to himself, do I want to be like Phygellus and Hermogenes and just abandon the work of God, or can I be brave like an Onesiphorus who went to meet Paul in Rome? I bet Timothy thinks, I'd have gone, but I don't know, would I have been able to have done it and all this sort of thing? Well, it's good that Timothy's given this good example to follow here. And we must follow good examples rather than bad. So these points show some of the causes of that backsliding, and really we must sum up. We're encouraged here. Stir up the gift of God. Be diligent for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we're in a ministry or whether we're in the pew. But we're to pray, as it was in prayer, to ask God to stir up our wills. Even the stirring up we find difficult. We're given help to do so. Stirring up is like kindling a little fire. It doesn't look like much. Is it? Let's go and get a twig. Let's get another. Let's get a match. Let's get a piece of paper, a bit of tinder, kindling. Strike it easy. It all looks so simple. There's not much to it, really, is it? But then it goes. You see, the fire goes then. And so this is the similar thing for us. We're to be diligent. We've got these warnings here. The things to avoid. Ways of slipping. But God has given us prayer. He's given us access to Him in prayer. We're to seek the Lord. He promises to hear us if we sincerely seek Him. He's given us the Bible. We've got His Word. We've got to come together when we're together to worship God. And just to conclude, we are given great promises. We're told in the scriptures, seeing that we have this hope, we faint not. We've got a great hope before us. We're encouraged that we shouldn't be weary in well doing. You see, all these things are against Timothy in this chapter. But he's not to be discouraged, he's to go on. We don't know what the Lord has ahead. We don't know how He'll answer things for us. We are to, as it says in Hebrews, we're to run a race. On one hand we walk, but we run and we look unto Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gift, especially of Thy grace indeed, of the Holy Spirit. We thank Thee, Lord, that each one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour has been given the grace of Thy Holy Spirit. And in varying degrees, Lord, different gifts, some one talent, some two, and some five. And we pray, Lord, that each of us may not bury these things, but that we may diligently follow thee, Lord. We pray thou would keep us and keep us from falling into the temptations that are all around us. Like the seed that fell on thorny ground and choked with the cares of the world. Lord, help us to do the things we need to do without being taken over by the things of the world. And Lord, we will pray even that we may see some fruit from our labours. We pray thou would give us patience. We thank thee, Lord, that those that sow in tears will reap in joy. And we pray thou would further the work of the gospel. We thank thee that Paul instructed Timothy. And we thank thee these things apply even in our day. And we thank thee, Lord, that the labours in the Lord are not in vain. And we ask thee, Lord, that to bless thy church in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.